This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Nos o'r da, gyfarwch yn y tymor a nadolig llawen eich i. Welcome to the 1912 XR's festive special episode. I'm Ed, I'm on hosting duty tonight, and I'm joined by Mr. Rhys Warren, the OG of the 1912 XR's. Hi, Rhys.
Hello.
Our man on the northern beat, Mr. Ian Street. Hello, Ian.
Hi, everybody. Happy Christmas to all.
Joining us live from London, Mr. Jamie Harris.
Bonsoir.
And making a welcome festive appearance, Mr. Jack Halpin.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
Merry Christmas to all of you. And let me just extend compliments of the season from all the podcast crew to you, our listeners. 2023 has been a great year for us. We've been nominated for an award. We've had a couple of huge episodes with the likes of Alice James, John Pratt. And over the course of the last 52 weeks, we put out something like 45 episodes, which isn't bad going at all. None of this would be possible without your encouragement, which makes it worth doing in the first place, and indeed your generosity by buying fridge magnets, contributing to our Ko-fi, or in a few cases just bunging some cold hard cash into my hands in the Moringer, all of which means we've been able to do more stuff this year than previously without busting the bank. So we just wanted to start up and say thank you and wish you all the best for the festive period. We will be taking a breather ourselves because we don't want to be editing pods over Christmas, so this is a bonus episode that we're probably going to put out before the Wrexham game to tide you over until after the crew match on the 29th. And we'll aim to do a big wrap-up of those fixtures and the Forest Green game on Boxing Day after that. But for now, we're going to kick back. We're going to crack open a bottle of sherry, light a roaring fire, cut ourselves a slice of Christmas cake, and settle in for an episode which will tangentially be about football, but perhaps will be a bit looser than the usual fare. It's a bit of festive fun to keep you entertained on a long car journey to visit your sister on Boxing Day, or as you go for a long walk to avoid your in-laws on New Year's Eve, or perhaps to make love to as you gently nuzzle your partner on Christmas morning itself. All right, maybe not that one. So the format for tonight's episode is arguably more in keeping with Halloween than Christmas, but we're going to be talking about Frankenstein's monster, and specifically how our panel would create the ultimate Frankenstein's monster using the best attributes from Newport County players. We've kept it fairly vague. They might be specific body parts, your right foot, your hands, your foreheads. They could be character attributes, patience, guile, shithousery, or they might be other things entirely, speed, diving, or the particular way that a striker carries himself when walking back to the halfway line after missing a sitter. It's up to our panel to take it in whatever direction they wish. And I'm going to start in the north and work our way south. So I'm going to start with Ian. So Ian, before you give us your first attribute and your first player, tell us a bit about how you went about deciding stuff.
First of all, I love this topic, and I didn't come up with it, so, you know, but I loved it. Brilliant. I've been having lots of fun with this. I originally started, like Frankenstein, stitching body parts together and thinking, you know, who do I want, how do I want it, da-da-da-da. But then I started thinking, we're in the age of genetic modification, aren't we? So I don't need the body parts. I just need the essence and the attributes, and I can get into a lab on the sort of Yorkshire moors, and you know, conjure up some sort of beast. You know, that's a perfect monster player to play for the port. So I haven't gone body parts. I've gone attributes and creating this, growing this thing that's going to stride like a colossus on the Rodney Parade. That's what I've done. And where are you starting? What's your first one? Before you do anything, I need DNA, don't I? Because I need to grow it. I need the DNA, and then I'm going to fuse. Once I've grown my thing from my DNA, then I'm going to fuse all the attributes into that. You know, it got me test tube. That's where I'm going to go. So when I started thinking about DNA, I was like, well, whose DNA can we use to create the perfect monster? You know, I was looking at our midfield and thinking, you know, we're a little bit light there at the minute, so a bit of strength in there wouldn't go amiss. So that got me thinking about, like, all-action midfielders, you know, somebody could play a 4, a 6, an 8, a 10, you know, whatever, like a storming Norman sort of midfielder, that's what I want. Someone who'd be feared beyond measure. Then I started looking around the world and thinking, well, Jude Bellingham is probably, arguably, one of the greatest midfielders we've got on the planet at the minute. And like Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein 19, he's only about 20, isn't he? So, you know, he's the bees, isn't he? So his dad, Mark, played for us briefly. He was with us for a short period, wasn't he? So we've already got in a county shirt the DNA of the Bellingham. So that's where I'm starting. Get Bellingham's DNA, and then we're going to fuse all the other bits onto that. So, yeah, I'm starting with Mark Bellingham's DNA. There we go. Well, what a start that is. Yeah, to my shame, I've had to send to Wikipedia. And yeah, he played for us on loan in 1997, on loan from Cheltenham Town. No details of how many games, and slightly before my time. But yeah, great. Okay, so we're off to a good start. We've got some DNA into our Frankenstein's monster. So let's go next. I said I was going to work my way south, which has now got me frantically Googling to try and work out whether Jamie is further north than Jack, and I think he is. So I'm going to come to Jamie next.
Just about. What I want from my Frankenstein player, I kind of want him to be able to do everything. I kind of want, in essence, this one person to be able to play and beat whoever 11 players are put up and you know, facing him at kickoff. So I'm trying to sort of pull bits and pieces together, so you know, we can be working our way from the back, dealing with whatever obstacles come our way, and then, you know, creating the chances and finishing the chances all at the same time. Because basically, what you need a bit of youth and energy, but also need experience and wisdom. So my first attribute is having the Benjamin Button syndrome, being wise beyond your years. Yeah, you want somebody who's youthful, energetic, and can sort of carry the team forward, but with that wisdom on it, on such a young head. So I've gone for Ben White because it's so fantastic watching him play for Arsenal and England. But I particularly just enjoyed him watching him play for us when he was on loan, because as soon as you saw him, you know, come on the pitch, play right back, centre half as a 18, 19 year old. Yeah, you just knew where he was going to go. You knew he was destined for you know, the Premier League, destined for the top. He's going to be like the base of my Frankenstein's monster.
Fantastic. Another strong suggestion. Thank you, Jamie. So I'm going to come to Jack next of all. Who have you got and what attribute?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? You caught me off guard when you gave it away. You were talking about lovemaking. So I've gone with Frankenstein's penis of Newport. I know it happened. No, I absolutely have not. In fact, I'm not that well planned. I'm trying to scrape for some grand story I can spin and sell. I've had a good play with it. But my first part of my Frankenstein's monster, and oh God, it is a Frankenstein's monster, is a driving ability. So, you know, if I was going to rob a bank, whose hands would I want on the wheel? Well, it's none other than Newport footballer Chris Zabrowski, who the BBC Sport says was jailed for 4 years after admitting 4 charges of robbery, attempted robbery and assault. Swindon Crown Court heard he crashed his BMW into a taxi in December and attacked a witness who filmed him when he got out of the car and tried to take his mobile phone. So that's, I mean, I'm not spending much time on it. He's my driver. It's Chris Zabrowski, everyone.
So Fris Zabrowski is at the wheel. We've got Mark Bellingham's DNA, and we've got the Benjamin Button syndrome of Ben White. Rhys, the southernmost of our correspondents, just south of the M4. What have you got?
Well, so I've built this around a player that you could just drop anywhere on the pitch. He could pretty much play any position. So I've started off with the physical makeup of what I'd want. So it is a Frankenstein's monster of Lee Minshall's size and strength with James Waite's endurance and work rate while boasting Ryan Jackson's speed. I don't know if he could stop once he got up to speed, but crikey, that would be something to behold.
He's put three attributes in at once there. If he does that for everyone...
I think he wants to knock off her there, aren't we?
It's under the umbrella of physicality.
Okay.
Love it.
That's nice. It's good that, James Waite is getting mentioned. I mean, it does speak to the obvious shortcoming, pun intended, of James Waite that, if only he could be a foot taller and 2 stone heavier.
He'd be Lee Minshall.
He would be...
I was going to mention Lee Minshall.
Okay, so that's fine. Well, we're off to a good start. Everyone's had a go with their first round choices. Let's move on to second round picks. And I'm going to start with Jamie, I think, for this one.
Let me take you back to about 3 minutes ago when I mentioned Ben White and his Benjamin Button syndrome. Continuity here. So, as I mentioned, I want my Frankenstein's player to be able to do everything. So he's shoring up everything at the back now, and he's getting into midfield. But he's up against 11 people, and even if you're a bionic man, it's hard to lose your man marker when you've got 11 people marking you. So what you need is built-in protection. In particular, I think built-in shin pads. And luckily, we already have a player who's playing for us this season who has built-in shin pads. At least I can't see them anyway. He's not wearing any, so he must have them built in. And that's Will Evans. I still can't quite fathom this whole fashion trend. It's got to be a fashion trend of footballers these days who just wear the tiniest, the smallest regulation size shin pad that you must wear, because then they're just not bothered. I remember when I was playing football, mine came up to my knees, and I got kicked a lot.
Well, also you're a similar vintage to me, Jamie, and you're right, it is a fashion thing, because I think around the time I was in my late teens and playing, not only were the pads big, but they had the ankle guard protector in, and that was the thing. The bigger and chunkier your shin pads were, the better. Whereas now, it's all trying to shrink it down and be minimalist.
Exactly. And also, I don't know if you've watched him closely play this season when he's holding up the ball in near the corner and stuff. He gets kicked a lot, almost as much as Omar gets kicked and his shirt gets pulled. But Will Evans does get kicked and goes down, but he always gets back up. You think, he's going to have to go off here. He always seems to sort of shake it off. So he seems to already have that built-in layer of protection. Maybe it's just, all the milk he's been drinking. You've got strong bones. But yeah, so he's my next guy. We've got age and wisdom beyond years, and we've got shin pad protection all over your body.
The other one who always used to stick out for me is never having thick shin pads on. And certainly none that you can manage. You remember Tyreek Backinston, who we had on loan from, that was Bristol City as well, wasn't it? Mm. And he had very thin, spindly chicken legs anyway, and without any shin pad. How that boy has got through his career without getting a snapped chin every fortnight, I don't know, because it's just, he's inviting trouble. But Jack, what's next for you?
That'd be corner. Where's it? Back to me. Okay. So just to set the scene, you've built your Frankenstein monster. You've got the driver. You've got the money. Now you need the brain to sort the money out. God, what are you going to do with it? I know just the guy. Well, it's ex-Newport County footballer Mark Hazlewood, who took part of a scheme and defrauded someone £5 million and went to jail for it. That's it. He's going to sort me money out. I mean, he might get caught, but I might get away with a couple of grand. So,
I'm already sensing a theme to Jack's picks with all of this. Newport County players who've done time for something. Is that where we're going? And do we have enough for you to have all five?
Who's going to be in there for fighting, Darren Jones or Pipey?
So I walk a very tight tightrope here that I kind of don't want them to come after me. And the last person I'm going to want coming after me is David Pipe and his tits. I'm sorry, Ed, if you're making this an editing nightmare, but
this is on you. This is on you. I'm taking no responsibility at all. I'm a big David Pipe fan. I've always said he's a swell guy.
Always liked him.
Right, let's see who is next. Rhys, I'll come to you.
So as we've discussed, my minstrel-sized monster has got a problem with changing direction. Well, I've got a solution for you. He's going to be blessed with Jason Bowen's dribbling ability. Now try stopping him. Nothing can get in his way.
I wondered how long it would be before Jason Bowen made the appearance. Quite right, too. Just the way he would torture lumbering non-league fullbacks used to fill my heart with joy. So, yeah, excellent.
I think of a lumbering, like, giant that can move with Jason Bowen's agility. That's quite exciting, isn't it? Quite like that. Right, so yeah, so I've got my DNA, so I need to start fusing some stuff into my test tube now to build a monster. Qualities. We need a hero. We're calling for a hero. That's what we need. Everybody wants to have a hero on the pitch, don't they? Whoever that was when you were a kid, we've still got them now. You want a hero. So we've got to have heroic qualities. But then I thought about this. Well, like, there's different types of heroes, aren't there? You know, so what sort of hero do we want? And I started thinking about Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, as I said, who was the wife of Percy Shelley, who has occasionally appeared on this pod recently.
Not literally.
Not literally. That would be brilliant. but the whole story behind Frankenstein was that Percy Shelley and Mary Shelley were with some other of that romantic crew and Byron in the Swiss Alps in 1816. And Byron set everybody in the room who was staying in this chateau or wherever it was the task of coming up with a ghost story. And Mary Shelley, that's what she came up with, right? The bare bones of Frankenstein came from that. And I was thinking, Byron, the Byronic hero, that's what we need, isn't it, right? Byron was once described as mad, bad, and dangerous to know, right? Now, that's the sort of heroic character I want my character to be, a mooding, broody rebel, right? So I was thinking, who have we got? Could be Pipey, maybe Josh Labadie, somebody like that. And I thought, no, we don't need any of that. We've literally had someone playing for us named after Byron, right? So I'm putting in Byron Anthony. Surely anyone named after the original Byronic hero has got to be the ideal fit.
But yeah, Byron Anthony is a superb shout. And someone who I'm surprised hasn't returned to the county. I'm sure at some point you will do. It feels as though that's there written in the stars for a glorious return at some point.
It only his academy role under a cloud of some.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. But he's head of the academy at Bristol Rovers, isn't he? Or academy manager, I think.
Someone who can lean under a cloud is a Byronic hero right there, isn't it? Moody, brooding, named after him. It's got to be.
Right, well, we've all had two picks. So we're going to have a bit of a palate cleanser before we carry on with Frankenstein. I set the panel a question to have a think about coming into today, which was, if you had to spend Christmas Day with one Newport County player, either past or present, who would it be and why? And I'm going to take Chair's prerogative and go first, because you've all had a turn at stuff. So for me, I decided it would be Seb Palmer Holden. Firstly, he seems like a nice, well brought up boy, and his family have been good crack when they interacted with us on Twitter. But more to the point, Seb's a big boy. He's like the jolly green giant. So the evidence suggests that the Palmer Holden family put on a good spread. I'm expecting generous portions of turkey, three different types of potato, every conceivable variety of veg, and enough pigs' blankets to feed an army. And I'm also hedging my bets that a double-barreled name increases the likelihood of a well-stocked wine cellar. So yeah, I'm going to Seb's for Christmas Day. Rhys, what did you come up with for this?
I think that the Evans family farm would probably be a good Christmas Day. You know, you're going to get good cut of beef. You're going to be looked after, I think, at the Evanses. And if not, you can all just go out and see all the animals, which is always a nice time. And everyone used to like going up Green Meadow Farm. So it's basically the same as that, isn't it, on Christmas Day?
Jamie, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, you're North London Wokerati, so you probably won't want a big hearty Christmas meal. You'll be up to like a nut roast and some lentils. So maybe changes the dynamic for you. What are you going for?
How dare you? I nearly chucked to my grouse then. Unbelievable. Just want to make a point with Seb, because I think, yeah, fantastic. I think as well, his goal at Barnet was fantastic on Tuesday. And he reminds me a lot. I don't know if there are any of you guys are cricket aficionados, but he reminds me a lot of the Australian, there's a young lad called Cameron Green. He's big, like, yeah, basically a strapping blonde all-rounder, trundling and fast bowler. And yeah, he just sort of ambles in and, you know, just like he's like 6'8" or something. He's just huge. And just reminds me a lot of, Seb and what you just said there. Christmas Day. This is a tough one. I reckon I'm going to go with Clarkie. Reason being, everybody, well, majority of people don't like putting on a Christmas jumper. They think, you know, it's too woolly, it's itchy, it's, you know, getting on your skin and stuff. But his ability to pull a shirt of an opposing player without getting spotted throughout the day, he's going to get a Christmas jumper on every single member of that house. And you won't even realize it. And then, you know, you'll be sat down having your photo taken just before dinner and you're like, oh, where's this come from? Yeah, so Clarkie, he's going to be a mischief, but he's going to get everyone in the festive spirit.
Very good. Clarkie, the jumper stealer. I like it.
Yeah, I gave this quite a bit of thought because I was in a really dull meeting today, so I started scribbling some ideas down on a piece of paper. Matty Dolan, for me, right? Matty Dolan, right? I'll tell you why I've got some brilliant reasons. You've listened to this.
This is just going to be you and Matty's bromance, right? You just want to...
All right, it's fine. It's going to be great, right? So first of all, he was a good organiser and communicator. They're key skills at Christmas, right? Secondly, he was calm, right? You put your house on him to score a vital penalty. So amidst the chaos of Christmas, calm presence, Matty Dolan's your man, right? Good with kids. His young daughter was often seen in the away end at Northern Grounds. So clearly, Matty's a great parent. So he entertained the kids, no drama. Capable of magic. We all need a little bit of that, don't we, at Christmas, you know? He could pop up with spellbinding examples of wizardry, you know, like the goal against Forest Green or whatever. So, you know, a little bit of entertainment, a bit of magic could go on. But most importantly, and this is serious, I want to spend my Christmas with good people and good humans. And I think he's a top, top guy. I heard recently that when Mark O'Brien had to stop playing because of his heart condition, Matty said to him, you know, if you need anything, any point, any time, doesn't matter, day or night, give me a ring, no problem, right? And when he was going through a dark time, one night, he rang him up and said, Skip, you know, I'm having a problem. Matty Dolan dropped everything, went to his house, packed his bags, said, you're going to come and stay with me and my family until you're right and ready. Now, any human being who can do that, that's a good person. I want to spend my Christmas around people like that. So, Matty Dolan for me.
That's a more serious answer than I was expecting, but a very good one. And may all of you listening be spending Christmas Day with the Matty Dolan in your life. Jack, inject a bit of levity for us. Who are you going with?
I've had my sushi. My Christmas sushi, having first tasted it at the awards. Now I'm hooked. I need the Christmas version. And I'm feeling greedy and I want some pies. Now, I take you back to November 23rd, 2009. Forum.lincoln.com. It's the Norwich City Supporters Forum. The post title will give away the player that I'd like to go around for some pies, but I'll just read out some content. Saw such and such came on as a sub for Cambridge United and scored twice. I thought he would have been in a much better team than this, as he showed much promise at Norwich. All capitals, no, 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 no. He's eaten about 1 billion pies since then and is now largely overweight and unfit, hence the fact he is a sub at Cambridge United, who are in the conference. Who am I referencing? Well, it's Danny Crowe. I'm going over Danny Crowe's and I'm having a billion pies with that guy, because who wouldn't want to eat a billion pies with Danny Crowe?
He had such a good touch, but zero pace to go with it. I found him so frustrating, because you think you've thrown away what, as you point out, could have been a very promising career, because you'd like a good dinner.
I think he was probably quite frustrated playing for us as well, because he was about 5'10" and was a subject of aerial bombardment by our defenders for his entire time playing for us.
I think whenever he did win the ball to his feet as well, he like had that good touch and turn around going, oh, I'm 45 yards from goal here. That's going to take me years to get down there. Good. Right. So that's been our first palate cleanser of the night. But having had our palates cleansed, let's get back to Frankenstein. Reese, go.
We've got our giant lumbering and moving, flying down the wings like a ballerina, but now he needs a brain. So I had to think of whose footballing brain do I want? I think I want Josh Sheehan's. Quick thinking, partner with the quick feet he's inherited from Bowen. This guy's going to be magic.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good. Has anyone else got brain as one of their attributes? And do we need to argue it out? No? Okay, shakes the head. So I'll go straight on to Jack.
I've robbed the bank, thanks to the first Frankenstein part. Driven away successfully by Mr. Sabrowski. Fantastic. Wonderful. I've made my money. I've made my millions. And Mark Hazelwood has just spooned it completely. And I am now in jail. Thanks a lot, Mark. Thing is, though, those fences look a bit short. I reckon I could jump over them. Who's going to train me to jump as high as I possibly can? Well, it's ex-Cardiff City hooligan, Craig Hughes. That's right. The guy was he was a small, very stocky, pipe-esque build. But for some reason, in a Conference South era, I swear I used this answer last year, in a Conference South era of giants from London who were about 7 foot two, this guy could outjump these guys. So who better to jump over the fence of Newport County Prison than him? Excellent. Thank you, Craig. Thanks for the lesson. I'm out. And now I'm running for it. In just my pants and skivvies.
I'm pretty intrigued if you're going to use your Frankenstein's player to, you know, play any football at any point. But
No. I just want to make my money and run, Jake.
We said it was a nice vague format with the intention that people could take it where they wanted to. And Jack has followed that instruction and decided to do his own thing. Yeah, good. He's very much the jazz element of the 1912 XRs. He doesn't need rules to hem him in. Great. Ian, you're next.
So Reese touched on this when he talked about a bit of magic. And I think that you're spot on, Reese, that we need that my character, I've got the DNA, you know, I've got the Byronic hero, but he needs to be a magician, doesn't he? You know, we all want to see that bit of magic on the pitch, don't we? Of course, all magicians need a wand. Step forward. The one and only Captain Fantastic, Matty Dolan. Keep that one short and sweet.
He's getting his second mention of the night. I mean, at some point, someone's going to make a Brokeback Mountain-style thuddy movie of Ian and Massey Dolan. Any directors listening, give that some thought. Jamie?
You asked earlier whether anyone else had brains. But we're talking about brains, magic, creativity, bit of nous. And my one is a little bit in that era, a little bit in that sort of Venn diagram. We've got Ben White at the back shoring things up. We got Will Evans taking all the kicks on the shin, and he's still going, and he's, you know, he's got through the first line of defence. What we need now is a bit of something special. What we really need is the turn into prime David Beckham when you're playing on TV switch, which
I know who this is going to be,
which Robbie Wilmot had in abundance. I don't know where he found this button, this switch, but he just always used it whenever we're in a cup run. He looked phenomenal, getting past players on the wing, whipping in beautiful cross. I'm thinking the cross in for Podge's goal against Tottenham back in, when was it, 2019.
But the cross in for Jamil Matt against Leicester as well, didn't he?
Yeah. Do you think it's a quality that shows itself up in other parts of his life? So, you know, this time of year, Christmas Day, kids have all got the camera phones out to take pictures of, you know, the dining table looking all nice with the candles on. And, you know, suddenly Wilmot is like upping his game as he's carving the turkey because he's got a camera on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he turns into Nigella all of a sudden on Christmas Day and, yeah, brings out the Christmas dinner, I'm sure. He probably also uses the switch. He'll turn on the Christmas lights, whatever town he's in.
Good. So we've done three rounds. We'll do another and then we'll have another palate cleanser. I'm going to come to Jack. I mean, I know just how much preparation Ian has done for this. I think Reese and Jamie would have scribbled some notes down. Jack, I think, is already now just kind of making this up as he goes along. He's busking this. So I'm going to go first to Jack, just because I really want to put him on the spot. So Jack, it's over to you. Have you got a fourth round?
Yeah, well played. I do, actually. So, you know, I've just friendly escaped prison, thanks to Craig Hughes's wonderful set of calves. Sprung a new life, but my conscience needs cleansing and I need to get back on track. I really need to come back to society and be one with it again. And actually, who better to show me that than you, Newport County AFC fans. South Wales Argus this week. Newport County AFC fans are on track to finish 2023 without a single arrest. The last time a county fan was arrested was at a home fixture against Leyton Orient on December 30th. Newly released Home Office data has revealed. So give yourself a round of applause, fans. You haven't been naughty boys this year. No coal for you under the tree.
I mean, that really is tempting fate, given that we've got Wrexham on the 23rd of December.
I did say on track.
But
come on. Let's make it a clean 2023, people. Behave yourselves.
Ian, you're next.
Right, it's a tricky following Jack, isn't it? I'll be...
My train of thought is all over the show.
So, obviously, we've got Captain Fantastic the Magician. We welded him in there. But then I'm thinking the next quality I need is anti-system anarchism, right? That's the next bit that's going in, right? So, what...
Obviously.
So, I'm summoning up, you know, Mikhail Bakunin, who is the sort of the philosopher behind a lot of anarchist thought. The reason about this is that one of the things I dislike most about football, and I think everyone's going to agree with me when they hear me out, is systems. So... We have a little laugh about a tactics truck and all that sort of stuff. There's nothing worse to me than teams cancelling each other out as they focus on systems and stopping other teams playing rather than letting individuals run riot, right? If we all sat down and said, like, and all the people who might listen to this, you know, what's the best game you've ever seen, right? They tend to be chaotic free-for-alls, don't they? Players are out of position, weird things are happening, right? So let's go back to, like, the Notts County game that kept us in the league, you know. We've got OB in the box, completely and utterly out of position, having a ball crossed to him by Pipey on the wrong wing, completely out of position, right? Nobody planned that. That's not a system. That's absolute anarchy in action on the pitch, right? So my monster must adhere to the principles of anti-system anarchism. So I was thinking, well, how do we do that? Who's that going to be? I was scratching my head about who that could possibly be. In an ideal world... Unfortunately, I'd have put in someone like Robin Friday, ex them lot down the road in Reading. But I was thinking, who's the most utter chaos I've seen play for us? Cortez Bell, I'm going with. Possibly the most anarchic player that's ever turned out for us. So the spirit of Cortez is going in as my anti-system anarchist.
Is that the same Cortez Bell that got done for abusing dogs?
He would also probably find a place in your monster, Jack, to be honest. But he was mad as a box of frogs. I think he played about 70 games for us, but I think he got sent off in about 30 of them. So, like,
he's also been banned from keeping animals for life.
He only played 22 games for us, according to Wikipedia. But I mean, whenever you bring up someone's Wikipedia and it has a lengthy section entitled Personal Life, you always know this is going to be good stuff. So, as Jack has said, yeah, he was sentenced to 8 weeks in prison. For severe animal neglect and has been banned from keeping animals to life. His career as well, if you look at the teams he's played for, he's clocked up a lot of miles along the M4. So, amongst others, Mercer, Newport, Llanelli, Chippenham, Mercer again, Portalbert, Carmarthen, Portalbert again, Mercer again, Taftswell, Portalbert again, Taftswell again, and then had a spell as player manager at Portalbert. So, yeah, there is a man who knows his way around the service stations of the M4.
Yeah, maybe we need to do a Cortez Bell special where we pick our favourite M4 service station at some point.
That's next season's Christmas special.
Exactly, yeah. Just 3 hours dedicated to that. I'm sure we can fill that. My fourth skill, special move, whatever you want to call it. Again, going to walk you through it. Ben White shored them at the back. Shored them all, you know, got them all safe and sorted. Moving forward, Will Evans has taken all the kicks. He's given it to Wilmot. These are all the same player, but it's him. He's morphed into Wilmot, flicked the TV switch. He's run down the wing and he's got past three players, but it's been knocked out for a throw. What do we need? We need somebody to get it in that box. We need somebody to get it in the mixer. And it's been weird this year not having Mickey Dimitri, not having his bionic arms chucking it in. It's really odd watching us play this year without that long throw set piece in our back pocket, which I'll be honest with you, can't remember too many times it paid off, but we persisted anyway. You're going to remember one now, are you, Ed?
No, I was going to say it struck me watching the Barnet game on
Tuesday night because they had a lad who could chuck it in. In fact, what their first goal, I think, came from one of those. And you went, oh, yeah, we used to be able to do that. And now we can't anymore. I'm surprised we've not trained someone up to do it. One of them must have that in their locker.
Well, maybe they need to sign this Frankenstein's monster of mine because he will have bionic arms specifically for throw-ins. Not for anything else, not for Jack.
Not for DIY.
Monster or any assaults or anything. But purely for fizzing it in there, whether it's fizzing into the near post or looping it over to the far post for somebody to nod in. So yeah, it's that real set piece, that bit of magic getting it in the box, Mickey, is my fourth pick.
Just an honorary mention for throw-ins. Can they remember Harry Morgan being absolutely surprisingly good with long throws for such a short man back in the day? No, just me? Okay.
No, I remember that. And also, he liked to use his arms for fighting as well. Despite being very small, he was very angry.
And he wore shorts that were far too long and big for him.
It was the early 2000s. That was trendy.
Does this podcast seem to be titled Allegedly?
Yeah. All right, then. Well, let's stick with Jack's Lags 11. What have you got next for us, Jack? I mean, surely by this point, these are getting to people who've just got like speeding tickets or library fines or something. We can't have that many, surely.
Well, it's been an emotional journey. I'm a reformed man. Gone are the heady days of my bank robbery and fraud and hooliganism and high jumping. And it really, the fans really got me back on track. It really, the blood flows through my veins in a more purer sense thanks to such good behaviour this year. But, it all leads back to one place. It all leads back to that central position in the chest, and that's the heart. And the heart of Newport County is in my Frankenstein's David Hando. Bet you didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that.
All the respect and love
for Ilian
missing and adoration for a man of whom, without his heart, we would not beat ours to this day. We could talk day and night about what that man's done for the club, but I feel at Christmas it falls upon us to keep some of the past still alive and in your thoughts. And for me, it's David Hando forever.
That is a surprising and crunching gear change from what has gone before it. But yes, very well said. I think, yeah, everyone's nodding. Ian, let's come to you next. So you're now Ian is normally the most serious out of all of us. We'll go with something completely left field and destroy it all, won't he?
This one, I was really keen that obviously I didn't just rehash my greatest 11 of last year. I was trying to think of like what's the final quality I need to sort of, we've got, Bellingham's DNA, we've got the bionic hero, we've got a magician, we've got the anarchist, and a final quality we need, I didn't know what to call it, so I called it bums off seatness. So that's what I'm calling it. Who, when you go, you get your bum off your seat, you want to watch him. You've got to fuse that into my monster, haven't I? That's what we want. There's only one. I've had to go back. It's Kevin Moore. I'm not going to wax lyrically about Kevin Moore because I did it last year. So if anyone's listening to this who hasn't heard my wax lyrical about Kevin Moore, go and listen to last year's Christmas episodes, which were anyway, I talk a lot about him. But, dead simple, he's the best player I ever seen put a Newport shirt on. Without doubt, we get the bums off the seats, and that tingle of anticipation whenever you got the ball, that is the perfect sort of icing on the Christmas cake for the Newport monster. So I've created my monster, bionic hero, fused with Bellingham's DNA, the magic of Mike Dolan's, the wands, the anarchic qualities of Cortez Bell, and the bums off seatness of Kevin Moore. That's what's going to destroy any opposition. Get that player on the pitch.
I think I would definitely watch that. Jamie,
should we finish off my Frankenstein's monster, my one monster to defeat any 11 players who might dare to stand before him? Last time you came to me, we were standing on the touchline. We had bionic arms chucking in. I realised he's chucking it in to no one in particular because he's the one throwing it in. But what you really need is just that strange ability to just put the ball in the back of the net. I'm not talking about necessarily phenomenal goal scorers or the best strikers in history. I'm talking about people who somehow
can just come up with about 15 goals a season, and then you look at the stats, you're like, where did he get to 15 from? I don't know how he got here. Yeah, my sort of final attribute is the ability to pull goals out of his arse. I'm actually going to put it to the rest of the pod because, well, I had three. I'm going to narrow it down to two. The two I've got, I didn't really realise just how many this first one actually got. It was in the 2010 season when we got promoted from the Conference South. Of course, we had Craig Reid knocking him in. But we also had Sam Foley sort of almost playing, if I remember correctly, kind of off the shoulder. And he ended up with about, I think it was, must have been about 20 goals. And I don't know how he got to 20 goals. It was incredible. I'm putting his ability to pull 20 goals out of his arse in 2010 against Dom Telford's ability to somehow become League Two top scorer for one season. So I'm kind of going to put it to you. And if it's a draw, I'll cast the deciding vote.
I'd go with Foley on the randomness because he never looked like he could do much, and yet he was still playing. He came on a sub for Barrow last season. I was thinking he's still going.
Incredible. Got a few important ones that season as well. So yeah, I'd probably go with Sam Foley.
But you see, Telford was unexpected as well. I mean, I think if we'd had an offer for him in that summer window, I think he would have gone. It's just that we didn't have any offers for him, and Flynn couldn't get rid of him, so he was on the books and got some starts just because it was his turn type thing, and then suddenly was just in the most prolific form of his life. It did come out of nowhere, and even at the time there was a sense of, he's not going to repeat this is going to be a one season wonder, but it was great to watch. So I'm Alex Elford.
Didn't it come out of Robrie's brilliant management skills?
He was scoring while Flynn was still there.
Yeah,
he started scoring under Flynn and just carried on and then stopped around March.
Jack's obviously going to go with Foley.
No, I'm going to go. I'll be fair. I'll go with Telford.
I think that the team that surrounded Foley at the time was excuse enough to bang off his arse and it to the net. He had a lot of good players in the promotion season. Whereas, the Telford sort of thing came out of nowhere. He built it of his own image, and it was just the most prolific thing we'd seen in years, wasn't it? Really out of the blue.
Well, go on then, Jamie. You get to choose.
Yeah, well, I've actually just realised I don't actually have to choose because Reese picked three for his first attribute. So I'm just going to say the ability to pull goals out of his arse for Foley and Telford. So,
right, admin point. Who's done five and who's done four? Because I think I fucked up. You've done five, you've done five, you've done five. Reese?
I've done three.
So three out of the four panellists have done all five of their Frankenstein's attributes. Poor Reese has only done three. So before we come to Reese to give him the final say, we have a second palate cleanser for you. You've had your main course of the Christmas meal by this point. You're fit to burst, but there's more to come. Mam's about to pop out to warm up the Christmas pudding. Dad's trying to remember where the brandy is so they can set light to it, scare everyone rigid. But before we get to that, let's pull a few crackers. And what have we got here? Well, we've got some Newport County related cracker jokes. I say. Which Newport County player can you dangle from a Christmas tree? That's right, Omar Bauble. Heads in hands. I say. Which 1912 Exiles contributor do you get in big tubs at Christmas time? That's right, Quallet Ian Street. If you think those are bad, you should have heard the Christmas Carol puns that I came up with. So there was Declan Drysdale the Halls with boughs of holly. There was, Little Nick Townsend of Bethlehem, and perhaps most ambitiously of all, Ding Dong Merry Kip and Rye. Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, that was 2 hours of sitting in a meeting trying to come up with a Newport County Christmas Carol pun involving a Frandy Zanzala. Listeners, if you can come up with one, tweet it in to us. We will look forward to seeing it. Reese, you get to have a final bite of the cherry with your two final qualities you would like to add to our Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, so my monster, we've established that he's got the body to pull it off. He's got the footballing brain now that he can see the situation around him, and he's got the magic at his feet to create something. But we need to make sure that we're not conceding at the other end. So, for some heroic defending, I'm adding in Mickey's defending into it. And with Minchell's size and that extra speed, which was always Mickey's Achilles heel, there's absolutely no flaws in this guy. So he's creating the chances, but he's also got to finish them as well. And I've gone with Craig Reid's finishing ability.
Excellent shout.
Very nice.
I almost had him in my, don't know where he got all the goals from, but it wasn't really fair on him because he, like you say, his finishing was just phenomenal. And at that level, you know, when he took us up from the Conference South and into the Conference, he was a proper, like, proper number nine, number 10 strike, whatever you want to call him, but a real poacher. Yeah.
Yeah, he was always in the right place at the right time to finish those chances off as well. He anticipated it really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm looking forward to someone, and it won't be me, someone who's got good Photoshop skills, pulling together some sort of image that we can tweet out with the episode, showing all of the different, whatever it is, 20 qualities that we've come up with.
Good luck with that.
There's a bit of homework for someone who wants it. Before we finish, I'm going to spring one on you. I'm going to ask you to each name your Newport County Man or Woman of the Year for 2023. So let's see. Reese has got a hand up. He's thinking sharply.
I'm going to go with Coughlin. I think the situation we found ourselves in, the injuries we've had this season, the financial constraints we've had, he's done admirably in a season where it looked like we were really going to be up against it with the budget we had. We aren't a basket case like we've seen in the league in previous years. By now, there's normally a surefire relegation candidate, and I was worried that that would be us, and we'd be in the situation where, like, we were letting senior players go, and we were just having to put out the under-15s. But he's put together a functional team. We've suffered through horrendous injury luck. We've come out the other side. We're into the FA Cup third round. We've got a comfortable buffer over the bottom two. And also, given where we were when he took charge last season as well, you know, over the past 12 months, I don't think anybody has done more for the club.
Yeah, lots of nodding, and Jamie is already indicating he's seconding that as well, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to rattle my brains for someone, and then as soon as Reece said Cocker, I'm like, I can't beat that. I just can't beat that at all. Everything you said, Reece, he's just really embodied the real, like, fighting spirit of you know, what we've sort of become almost known for at times over the years, and just sort of that ability to just get on with it, pick up points where we didn't think we'd pick up points, you know, grind out draws, and you know, narrow wins, that kind of thing, just when we need the most, and you know, get some lovely bonus wins as well against, you know, league leaders and cup runs and stuff. So and yeah, just the way he's pulled this squad together, and particularly the last couple of months where we've been all a bit down in the dumps a little bit with the fact that we had a load of youth players on the bench, five on the bench anyway, couldn't even fill the bench, let alone fill it with senior players, to get through that period to be where we are now. Fair play to Cocker.
Yeah, so I'm agreeing with that as well. And I think the other thing that's underappreciated is that he's very tactically astute as well. I mean, that's how we beat Stockport, was we came up with a plan to surprise them with our formation and then to beat them, and he's done it in other games as well. You know, he has this reputation as, oh, we turn up and we grind out results and high press and industry, and that's all true, but actually we can come up with clever ideas as well. And, you know, the system he's played, that's so fluid, I think it plays to our strengths and our versatility as well. So so that's 3 out of 3 so far for Cocko. Jack, who are you going for?
Yeah, it'd be easy to do Cocker, isn't it? But it's the old contrarian in me. I've got to do something different. So I'm going to do a few honourable mentions and then pick one. It's a bit like the community round, I guess. So my first one would be Tinty and the Bucket Hats. I think what they're doing for tackling bullying. They are a charity band, which in itself is a rare entity, right? A band that just plays for making... Obviously, they're going to have fun and they're going to entertain us, but they are ultimately make money for charity of their choice, and that is, I believe, it's Kidscape. So yeah, wonderful, that is excellent. The Honourable Sir Norman Parcell for his work at the, not yet sir but should be, for his work at counting the community that seems to take even more steps in a bigger direction every year. You always see on the comms X amount and it's always more the next year, and he grows it. So, you know, kudos to you, Norman. And yes, I'd love to say Cocko, but he's already had his plaudits. So whomever this may be, I don't know who you are, but whomever planned and launched the special kit for Jason Bowen to raise money for MND is absolute
home run. I love that idea. I'm going to buy it for myself for Christmas. And yeah, whoever thought that idea, it just indicates to us all as fans how giving we all can be and how much we can make a difference. And like football is much more than the games we play. It's about the community we serve and the people around it. And that I couldn't be any more prouder to be a part of that club when I hear stories like that. So I don't know who you are, but yeah, whoever organised that, you're the person of the year for me.
Well done, well done. And Ian, to round us off.
Yeah, so I got a couple of names as well. So Hugh Jenkins, for potentially taking us over and sorting us out. So he gets an honourable mention from me. Adam Lewis, for often turning up in the away end at bizarre places. I got to take me out to him. You know, there wasn't many of us. There was 83 of us at Morecambe. One of them was Scouse Lewis in the away end. I'm like, what's going on there? So, you know, I wish he was on the pitch. But, you know, the fact that he does turn up there and Salford and other places, I think is great. But actually, I'm giving it to Nick, the club photographer. Talking to people who turn up blinking everywhere, absolutely astonishing, I think, what she does. I was lucky enough that she agreed to sit down at the start of the season and do a bit of an interview, which we did on the pod. I think it took a lot of people by surprise that she's got a full-time job and fits all the photography stuff in around that. She's unfailingly nice when if you're at an away and you see her, and the effort that she puts in to snap images, portray the club in a good light, get on with the players, get on with the fans. You know, she is one of those all-round good eggs that, you know, good football clubs need around them. And, you know, she's one of those. There's many of them like Nick, I'm sure, but I've got to know Nick a little bit this year. And yeah, Nick's the embodiment of the club for me. So, yep, Nick.
And also, like, it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but it's worth saying, like, just how good she is at what she does. Like, not just in terms of getting action shots during the match, but like some of the pictures she had of Prenton Park at Tranmere the other week, it was so artistically done. You know, the ground silhouetted against, you know, purple skies and stuff. I mean, just, yeah, superb. So, and yeah, she, as you say, she's a good egg.
And she's picked up on my floodlight watch, and she'll always like, she'll always get a photo of the floodlights if they're any good, which I love. So give her a tip my hat to that, chapeau.
There we go. Well, we are spreading the love, listeners. I think that probably brings us more or less towards the end of this Christmas special. We won't do beefs because we're feeling festive and we don't want to finish the year by starting beefs with anyone. But are there any final shout outs that anyone would like to make? Reese, any final shout outs?
Yeah, just the final one to thank the four of you for joining me on the pod this year. It's been fantastic. And to thank everyone who's listened this year. It's probably been our best year. So yeah, thank you very much and Merry Christmas.
Ian, how about you?
I was going to have a beef about the train system in this country, but let's not go down that road. Trying to get to games. I'm with Reese. Like, just doing what we do and having a bit of a laugh with it, and not taking ourselves too seriously, but trying to also put out some good stuff. You know, I really enjoyed it. Apologies for people for the Shelley poetry, but we have a bit of a laugh. And it was brilliant meeting Jack down at the FSA Awards and having a giggle with that. So, and I've met, you know, the some of the loyals who go to some of the weird away games who've, you know, come up and said hello. You know, all power. Yeah, I take my hat off to, I get to some, but you guys get to all of them. And yeah, I take my hat off to anyone who does that. So yeah, you guys and the fans.
Jamie, a shout out to all of the contributors who sort of helped us out, because yeah, we can't, you know, get to every game sometimes. You know, the ones who as well very kindly submit some clips from their experiences of match days. I don't have a list to hand of everybody who's helped us out this year with content, but yeah, we do really appreciate it, because it's also nice to hear some other opinions than ourselves as well. So yeah, kudos to them.
Jack, shake his head. Jack only wants to hear his own opinion.
I was nodding. I was going to start a beef, but let's not. Although, please, don't make a fool of my Frankenstein's monster. All you fans, we've been absolutely blemishless with the police. Let's not, you know, try and pile in some Wrexham people. I don't know when you're releasing this, Ed, so I might look a bit silly, but I hope we've been good boys and girls over there. Now, that would be my only beef, even though you didn't ask for it. closing sentiments for the year. I can't believe we sold out some fridge magnets. Who does that? You need some real support behind you, and we feel every bit of love when we could sell out a good old fridge magnet.
Very nice. And I'm going to finish by just giving a shout out to the various Podsters and Sods who I bump into in the Hazel stand who make every week a joy. So, you know, your Amberanis, your Diesels, your Dans. And then, of course, I have my now traditional pretty much huddle with Stu and Chris and Ollie, where we try and work out what's going to happen in each game, usually getting it wrong. But it's now become part of my pre-match routine. So thank you to all of you as well. Thank you to the panel for joining me tonight.
Diolch yn fawr.
Cheers.
Cheers. There we go. Lovely. Great stuff. And thank you to all of you for listening. I hope you have a very peaceful and restorative Christmas and New Year. And we will be back in 2024 with more of the same. But until then, look after yourselves, look after each other. And as always, keep it counting.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.